Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now this evening, Lord, with humbleness of spirit, Father, understanding that we cannot come unto you with any form of pride, Father. We ask that pride be removed from each and every last one of us in this room, Father. We ask that it will be anything that would hinder us from knowing and learning the deeper things of your word, that they would be removed right now, Father. For we come to you looking for answers, Father. We come to you with a humble heart and a contrite spirit, looking to be changed, Father. And we ask that your word does that change, Lord, in our lives. We ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us as we go forth in our journey toward your return, Father. We ask that you bless our families and bless our loved ones and continue to bless everyone in the body and everyone in this building at Wayside Cross. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We ask that the anointing of your Holy Spirit come right now, Lord, and that I speak not, but your Spirit speaks through your pages and through your words of your Holy Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
With that said, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. While you look for that, Romans chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 18. Give you a little insight of what's going on. Paul is speaking about, he's speaking to the people of Rome and speaking to us about that we're no longer under the law, but the law was important and is important. And we'll be picking it up from there. When you got it, say amen. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Starting at verse 18. Romans chapter 7. Starting at verse 18. Okay. Here we go. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the laws of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. May the Lord give a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen.
Today we'll be talking about sinful flesh. The sinful flesh. The Bible lets us know, we know that from the beginning, man was created from the dust. God took the dust and he created and formed man out of that dust. And he breathed a breath of life into us. And all of us are dust. So therefore our flesh is shaped into dust. With this understanding, we also understand that according to the word of God, this, when Adam did failed his what he was commanded to do, not to take from the tree of good and evil, when he failed that task, God condemned the flesh, sin, and made it sin. And he put a law in place until his son was to come and redeem all mankind back into the fold and under the grace of God. So all of us currently live, and we all shall live, in a sinful flesh body until the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You with me? So, with that said, look what Paul says at verse 18 to confirm what I'm saying. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. It's the flesh that is sin. And it's not us. And we're going to go on and see further. Look at verse 21. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Many of us, all of us, are in spiritual warfare against the very thing we're walking around in. This flesh. And this is sin. And we'll see that in the upcoming scriptures. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we learn to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And understanding that we've been programmed, I teach this every time we come here, that from the time we were born, we were programmed by the God of this world, which is Satan. We were not programmed by God when we came out. We were programmed by Satan. Almost everything we believe is a lie. Almost everything we believe is a lie. Which is the Bible says that we're, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brother, that you submit your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be reprogrammed, or our minds have to be renewed to what the truth is, because we've been taught a lie. And every time we look in this Bible, we see the truth, and it totally conflicts with what we've been taught. And I'm going to give a quick example, and then we'll go on to the next scriptures. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 that we are to take no thought for tomorrow, but let tomorrow take thought for itself. That in one day is enough evil to concern yourself with, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So the Bible teaches us to not concern, get up every day worrying about tomorrow. Now, what have you been taught from the time you were born? To get up and worry about tomorrow. See how that's one simple truth that the Bible teaches us. Now, either Jesus is a liar, or what we've been taught is a lie. And that's how I phrase that. Now, we've been taught from the time we were born that if a man is going to make it happen, he's got to get up and make it happen. He's got to go do this and this, that. But the Bible teaches us, Jesus said, that your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even ask.
Right.
He says that take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. What are we always taking thought for? For what we should eat, or what we should drink, or what we should wear. But Jesus says, don't take no thought for it. So somebody's lying, and we know it's not Jesus. And I just wanted to share that simple truth to show that we've been programmed to believe one thing, and the truth is right here in this one book. No other book but the Holy Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Look with me here. stay right there in Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 24. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What are we looking to be delivered from?
Death.
The body. And this is death. The body of this death. Now we understand that when Christ comes back, that he's going to come back and he's going to give us our spiritual bodies. That's what the Bible teaches, and we'll see that as we continue to read. But right now, while we're here on this earth, we are housed in a flesh body, and this flesh body is sin. And let me quit talking and let's go read this. Romans chapter 8. Just turn, look right down to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to spend a little time in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 through 17. So we'll be in here for a minute. You got it already, right? Look what it says. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Let's go back and take a look at what we read. Verse 1. We understand when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. So there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. That's something to say amen about.
Amen.
We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've gotten rid of the condemnation part. But look, you got to pay close attention. That accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who walk not after the flesh. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there are many people who have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior with their mouths, but they still are walking after the flesh. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're looking to start to obey the Spirit, to get rid of the old man and put on the new man. Now, this is a process, so I don't want anybody to walk out of here feeling condemned if they're still walking after the flesh, if they still have a temptation to walk after the flesh. This is a common thing. You've been programmed by the devil to obey your flesh this long. It ain't going to come off that easy.
Amen.
You spend some time in this word, and you stay in this word, and God will strip it all away and bring you into a newness and a newness of understanding and a new way of life and a new way to walk. You'll become that new creature in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So I don't want you to feel condemned by that statement. Look what it says. Let me just keep reading. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through what?
Flesh.
We live in what?
Flesh.
We're still walking in this mess. Amen?
Amen.
Every day you got to deal with this thing. It wants to eat. You know, I'm hungry. It wants to bother you, tell you it's hungry. It wants to tell you all sorts of things. But we have to understand that it, through Christ Jesus, can be controlled. Amen? Prior to, we listened to it and it ran us. Now we are to learn not to let it run us, but for us to control it. Amen?
Amen.
We live in it, but we don't have to listen to it. We control it. It says, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That was the whole purpose of this thing. Once Adam disobeyed, and mankind, all of us, was taken out of the grace of God because of that decision, now the only way for God to redeem us back to him was to send someone else in a human body. And the only one that was qualified for the job is his Son, because he was the only one holy enough to get it done. Amen?
Amen.
No other man, you and I, have not been able to accomplish living a completely sinful life in this mess, have we? We have not. But Christ came to be our example how to get it done. Christ came as the perfect sacrifice. He came in sinful flesh, which is what the Bible calls it, and he took this thing, and he didn't do any of the stuff that you and I do. He didn't lust after no woman. He didn't covet after no money. He didn't angrily beat nobody. He didn't do anything that you and I do in this flesh, sinful body. He walked perfect through this world. And he took the thing after he got through walking perfect and hung it up on a cross and killed it so that you and I wouldn't have to pay for our sins. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
He did that for us. Don't you think we ought to live for him now?
Amen.
If he condemned this sinful flesh, don't you think we ought to learn to walk in the spirit in which he placed in us? He said, I'm going to go unto the Father and I'm going to send the Comforter unto you.
Amen.
He's going to live inside of you. His Holy Spirit resides inside of your body. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us now, inside of this sinful flesh, to help us walk according to Christ. Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
Now all we got to do is start listening to it. Amen?
Amen?
Look what it says here. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, this is verse 4, but after the Spirit. We want to fulfill the righteousness of the law. The law is not a bad thing, but it can be fulfilled. It couldn't be accomplished prior to Christ coming. If it was, Christ would have had no need for Christ to come. But people have read this book and still flubbed it until Christ came back and died for us and got it done. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can actually obey this thing. We can read this Bible and say, okay, you know, the Bible tells me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, if I look upon a woman in a lustful manner, I have committed a sin already and I'm fornicating. So know what I'm going to do? If a woman, beautiful woman walk by, I say, oh, but she's beautiful, but I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm saying it's a beautiful woman, but I am not going to stare at any form of her body, even if she's carrying herself like a slut. I won't stare at her because by God, Christ has taught me not to stare at her. Amen?
Amen?
These are the things that we learn. And when you do that, look how simple that is. Now, can you walk around lusting after a woman if you ain't staring at her?
No.
And it's kind of hard to do because the world we live in, every time you turn on the television, every image of a woman is half-dressed and such and so forth and everything. And this world is designed, which is ran by the devil, to keep you from obeying God. It's to keep you from obeying God. So how do we fight against it? With his word. So we understand with his word that this world is designed that we should fail. Satan is already, his destiny has already been determined. He's been sentenced. According to the word of God, he's going to be destroyed when it's all said and done. And all those who have followed him, I pray that it is not us. Amen?
Amen?
And all those that follow him, he's already going to get what he got coming. His goal is to get us the same sentence he got. And the key to not allowing that to happen is to learn to not walk according to the flesh. We're talking about sinful flesh tonight. Sinful flesh. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next group of scriptures. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that rose up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Let's take a look at that. He says, but if ye but ye are not in the flesh. He's telling us, although you live in a flesh body, That's not who you are. Amen? Amen. Although you are in a flesh body, it's not who you are, but in the spirit. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Are we living in the flesh body?
Yes.
We are living in the flesh body. But he's saying that we understand that we're not literally, we're literally in his flesh body, but by the understanding and following of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we no longer have to abide and act according to that flesh body. Amen? But we're to walk according to the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's if the Spirit of God dwell in you. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have received the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit dwells in you, but it's whether or not it's activated in you. And we'll see the fruits of it if it is activated in you. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, this body is dead. This body is dead. Just like Christ hung it up on that cross, it no longer has any authority over you. It's dead. You're carrying around a bunch of dead weight if the Spirit of God dwell in you. I hear a lot of people quote, misquote the Bible. They say that the mind is willing, but the body is weak, or the flesh is weak, but my mind or my spirit is willing. The body, the flesh is weak, but it's only weak if you allow it to continue to control you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on to the next group of scripture. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. It's just what I just spoke a minute ago, with the exception of what the Bible is just telling you right to your face. It says, we are debtors not to the flesh. You don't owe this nothing. You don't owe this nothing. It's going to remind you, man, but didn't I, this touching that girl felt good. It's going to remind you of that, but you don't owe it nothing. Don't you miss that? No, I don't miss it. That's what you got to tell yourself. Hey, man, that drink sure felt good. That's what your flesh going to tell you. But you got to tell it, it didn't get me nowhere. So I don't care what you're talking about. I'm not listening to you. It's going to tell you that cigarette. Man, don't you miss that. Don't you miss that cigarette. Or you miss that whatever it is, you know. It's going to talk to you. And many of you know that it already has talked to you. And many of you know that it's still talking to you. Am I telling a lie? That's right. This flesh talks to us. But what did it just say? That we are not debtors to it. You don't owe it nothing. Quit walking around like you owe it something. You don't owe it anything. It says you're no debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh. This is verse 12 and 13. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to what? Now, we all know that we have to die a physical death. Like I said to you from the beginning, when God formed us, he made us out of dust. The Bible states we came from the dust, and this body was designed to return to the dust. From the time you pop out, this thing starts to deteriorate. The older we get, our face is sad, we get a little wrinkled, bones start to shrivel, the whole nine. I never seen nobody born and get younger. They get older and they go back to the grave, right where they came from, right back to dust. Am I lying? So therefore, we understand that physically we have to die anyway. So is this talking about physically dying? This is talking about your soul, brother. It says if you walk after the flesh, ye shall die. We don't want that second death. Amen?
Amen?
We want eternal life through Christ Jesus. We've already accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Now we got to do some more work. We got to quit walking after the flesh. Can't listen to it no more. We don't owe it anything. It wants to tell you owe it something. It's going to talk to you. All the way till Christ come back, it'll be talking to us. Man, I'm hungry. Well, dude, you got to wait. Or, I'm going to fast this week. You're not eating at all. Now what? Amen? You got to learn to control this thing. Because if you don't, it'll control you. So we're talking about sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. Look at verse 16. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the end of that. Yeah. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I hope this is blessing you. Galatians chapter 5. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start at verse 16 through 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I want you all to see that. Are you there yet, brother? Galatians?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25. I want you to see this. Look at this with your own eyes so you don't think it's my words. This is Paul talking. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, heresies, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, railings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me stop right there for a second. Did y'all just see what that said? First of all, it says in verse 16, it tells us, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? We meditate on His words day and night so we can understand, and we pray so that we hear the voice of God and we hear the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. Most of us, Not most of us, all of us have been programmed to lean unto our own understanding. We get up with our agenda. We get up with our direction. We get up with what it is that we're seeking to do for the day. That's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. It says whatever you're getting ready to do, check with God first. It tells us not to lean unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God. God, what would you have me do? And he will direct your path. And he is the Holy Spirit, which will tell you how to go about your day. Amen?
Amen.
So we're looking at, he tells us to not walk, to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now he's telling us to answer how not to continue to listen to this sinful flesh that we live in. And then he goes on to say, he tells us all the things. Here's some proof that you're still walking in the flesh. You're committing adultery, sleeping with somebody's wife, you're fornicating. I'm single, I can sleep with whoever I want to. No, you can't. Fornication. The Bible says fornication sends you to hell. It's the only sin that a man sins against his own body. You're sinning against your own self when you fornicate. And we've been told from the time we popped out again, a man got to be a man. A lie. You've been told a lie. You've been hoodwinked. Now we're being told the truth. Now we got to decide whether or not we're going to listen to the truth. So, adultery, fornication, here's proof that you're still walking in the flesh. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry.
What is lasciviousness?
That's a form of greed and say again? Yeah, it's a form of covetousness and greed and lasciviousness and a form of if you're being spiteful and doing, you know, devilish things.
Envy.
That's coming up, don't it? It says envy. Lasciviousness is a mixture of a
mine says selfish ambition.
Selfish ambition. See that? Right, it's a form of selfish ambition. I'll do whatever I got to do to get this money. You know what I mean? So it's a covetousness. It's a form of covetousness, like I said. Thank you, brother. So it says, lasciviousness, idolatry. We know that that's idolizing or making anything your God other than God. Man, I love my Corvette. You know what I'm saying? My house is so fly, you know? That's idolatry. Idolizing a woman. She's so beautiful, I'll do anything for her. You know? Cannot idolize nobody. Your children. Your mother. Your father. That's idolatry. Keep everything in its proper perspective. Amen? Witchcraft. Herod. What does your Bible say there?
Enmity.
Enmity? That's division right there. Enmity.
You're talking about verse 20, right?
Discord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Discord,
right. That's say again? Right. Keeping up mess among each one another. That's letting you know you're still walking according to the flesh. If for some reason all you brothers live right here and together and we all claim to know Jesus Christ and people walking around starting rumors and kicking up mess where you setting your brother off against his other brother, that's what this is. Amen? Yeah, that's what this is. That shouldn't be found amongst servants of God.
What is that?
Discord.
I don't have it. It's a different translation.
Yeah, that's what mine says, variances, but that's what it means, dissensions and discord. That's why I asked for another definition so that everybody can have a clear understanding. Yeah, you know, but it's just a breakdown. I'm in the regular King James, but the newer translations bring it into today's language. It's, this reads in stereo to me, but some people, the newer version, I can translate what this means into the newer. So these are things that you'll be able to see if you're still angry, got wrath, is strife, jealousy, and seditions against one another. These things are still going on. You still know that you're still walking in the flesh. If you're envying anybody, murdering, drunkenness, you know, any such like things of doing any of these behaviors, we understand that we're still walking and obeying our flesh. And we're supposed to be walking according to the Spirit. We've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have the Holy Spirit to walk in it, but we're not walking in it. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, verse 22 and 23, 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. See, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to understand that this flesh is crucified. We walk in a sinful flesh. Christ took this sinful flesh, put it up on a cross. If he put it up on a cross and killed it, what are you still carrying it for?
Amen.
We're still operating. We're walking around envying one another. We're starting messing amongst one another. We're coveting after what each other have and all of these things. This should not be found amongst men of God.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
And look what it tells us. This is how we know we're walking in the Spirit. We love one another. The Bible says the number one thing, Christ's second highest commandment, was that you love one another. And I love the way the Bible points it out. He even breaks it down and simplifies it. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to covet after his wife. You're not going to want to steal from him. You're not going to want to rob from him. You're not going to talk bad about him. You're not going to want to do any of these things. These are the things that's going to show that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're not going to do none of these things against yourself, are you? Me stealing and all this stuff against yourself? No. You're going to love your neighbor. So one of the ways we know that we're walking in the Spirit is that number one is love. Then joy. Can't be walking around depressed and all that stuff.
Stay there.
Huh?
Stay there.
Joy. When some of that mess comes upon you, the Bible teaches us that every thought that rises up, that goes against what Christ tells us how we're supposed to be, and the flesh is still going to be talking to you. They're going to tell you, oh, this is a bad day. You tell them, no, this is a good day. You see?
Okay.
The Bible tells us every thought that rises itself up against what the Word of God says, that we're supposed to grab that thing and bring it into captivity and get rid of it. What's the exact words, Ray?
The obedience of Christ.
Bring it into the obedience of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Take that thought that is contrary to what Christ would tell you. He's telling us to love and have joy. And here comes something, this is depression. You're like, oh, depression, you got to go.
Right.
I need this joy.
Amen.
You got to go. So you're bringing it into the obedience of Christ. It says we should have some peace, not walking around worrying about everything. God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He said he never seen a righteous forsaken nor begging bread, so... He said the sparrows don't walk around and toil and worry about nothing, but yet he clothed them. He says, how much more are you valuable than a sparrow? See, we got to know these things. We got to take this truth and replace the lie. Amen?
Amen?
So with this truth, we'll get some peace. It says, when we walk in according to the Spirit, now we understand we're getting some of this peace. In a world that's chaotic, I'm not telling you the world is going to change. I'm telling you, you can change through the Word of God. Amen? This world is a mess, and it will be a mess till Christ comes back. But it ain't your job to correct the world. Only person you concern that you're supposed to be taking care of and concerned about their walk is yourself. Any questions at the end of the service, brother? Matthew chapter 7 tells us not to judge one another, right? So we're not walking around trying to tell you how you need to get your... have some peace and how you need to get together and tell you that you need to do this. I need to be concerned about how I do it first. And then if I, through the Spirit, have learned to find some of this joy and this peace and this love, then we're not supposed to be selfish. Hey, brother, you look a little sad. Let me tell you about the Word of God so you can get some of this peace and love and joy. Amen? So those who walk after the Spirit, these are going to be the signs that you see that they walk after the Spirit. You're going to see some love. You're going to see that joy. You're going to see that peace. You know, see that long suffering. That long suffering is the same thing God had for us. None of us, while we were yet sinners, while we was out in our mess, you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's long suffering, brother. Some of us, it was a long time, you know what I mean, before we came to Christ, you know. But yet he was long suffering. We got to administer that same long suffering for one another. You don't look at your brother and say, that dude is a lost cause. He's a lost cause. Can't do that. You ain't going to change him. Hug him and say, hey, brother, I understand. You think it's rough and everything. I understand. You ain't got to carry his burden. You say, I pray with you. No, I don't want none of that. Okay, I pray for you over here.
Amen.
You understand? If that brother want to walk in misery, it's a way to be free. If he want to hear it, share it with him. If he don't want to hear it, kick some dust off your feet and keep stepping. But still pray for him. You understand? Because that's long suffering. You wouldn't leave your child out there in the wilderness, would you? You would like, according to the word of God, first of all, this horrible and terrible thing that's due to those who do not follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. God's wrath ain't nothing something to play with. And those that are disobedient unto him are going to get the razzle-dazzle. So you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. So although the brother is walking in ignorance, although the brother is lost, be like Christ, forgive them for they know not what they do, and pray for them. Amen? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. You're going to see some gentleness in this person. You know, he ain't a complete hard nose. I'm kind of a hard nose. I'm a very hard nose. But there's some gentleness in me as well. And it should be some gentleness in you. Some goodness, some faith, meekness, and temperance. That's patience, brother. Got to have some patience with some people, you know. Man, I just can't put up with that. No. Those of us who are walking according to the Spirit, have a little patience with people. Some temperance. Amen. The Bible states that God is the God of patience. In order for us to serve a God of patience, don't you think we got to have some?
Amen.
We got to have some patience. So verse 25. So again, it gives us a clear distinction of a way for us to know when we're walking according to this sinful flesh. And it gives us a clear breakdown of how we know when we're walking in the Spirit. So we can take this Galatians chapter 5 and study and meditate on it day and night, and we can get some deliverance in some of these areas, right, brothers?
Amen.
Be able to get some freedom from this flesh a little bit. Amen?
Amen.
So I pray that you do that. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, and that's just as clear as it gets, you know. I'm going to quote this next one to you. You've read it 100 times. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. I mean, John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, we've read this scripture a million times. We understand that Satan is the god of this world. We understand that he's a three-trick pony. He's going to get us all on one of three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or dealing with your pride, the pride of life. That's all he got. He's going to use, he can use it in many different ways, but those are his three tricks. He doesn't come at you any other way. He's a three-trick pony. If you learn his three tricks and you learn the word of God, you can defeat him. You can walk free of this guy. You know, amen? So, but I only read this verse is because he points out that there is a lust of the flesh. Your flesh is warring against you. We live in sinful flesh. This thing is against you. And I just want you to be aware of it so that you know what you're up against. You're fighting against your own self. And what's knowing is half the battle, amen? So look it. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 12 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 8. When you got to say amen. I'm going to speed up a little bit here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadowing of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It lets us know that we can't say that we're tempted of God when the temptation comes. A man is drawn away after his own lust, and this flesh lusts after things. We just read it, or I just quoted it to you in 1 John, the lust of the flesh. You're drawn away by what it says. Man, let's go get that drink. No, I'm not going to get the drink. You see how that works? Your flesh says, man, I need a beer. And you say, no, you don't need a beer. You tell it that it doesn't need a beer. Because it's sure trying to tell you what to do. I don't know about you all, but I don't like to be controlled by nobody. And yet, your own body is the one that's controlling you. It tells you, man, I got to get me some, and I'm talking about sexually. And now you got to go get you some. Understanding that fornication is going to send you straight to hell. But your flesh don't care about you going to hell. It's got to get them some. And you got to tell it, you won't be getting none tonight, partner. And I know I have to mention these things because you're warned against yourself, and it's a way to defeat your sinful flesh. Amen? Amen. Knowing is half the battle. So, it told us that, and you're drawn away on your own sins. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read chapter 10. It's only one verse, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there is no temptation that has taken you which is common unto man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. You see that? You don't see it because I didn't tell you to turn to it, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, there's no temptation that no other man in this room has not been faced with or is not dealing with. You're being tempted with the common thing that the three-trick pony comes at you with. Satan has three tricks. He's going to come at you with them. Don't be telling me, man, you just don't know my situation. Yeah, I do know your situation. Satan is coming after you with the same old mess he's been using for centuries. And it's a way to defeat him. You learn to walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. That's how you defeat him. And God says, with every temptation, he's made a way to escape it. You think he lied to us? I think he told us the truth. So whatever that temptation is, he's got a way for you to get out of it. All you got to decide is whether or not you're going to take that exit. Some of us don't want to take that exit. We want to listen to the flesh. The flesh say, hey, amen, we're doing this. You say, okay, we're going to do it. You got to tell them, no, we're not going to do it. Amen? Now, right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. 24 through 27. Know ye not that they that run, run in a race, all, I'm sorry, they that which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for masteries is temperate. You know what? I'm going to read the NIV version. It says, Do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one get the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who completes in the games, goes into strict training. Goes to strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You see what Paul tells us? He says in verse 27, I beat my body, this sinful flesh we live in, and I make it my slave. It's no longer my boss. It's been our boss too long. It's time to make it the slave. Amen? So he says, I make it the slave so that after I have preached to others, I'm telling everybody else what the word of God says, that I myself might not be a castaway. He doesn't want to lose his salvation. So we accept that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. The Bible says that, but those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh are going to get the crown. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Closing. Here we go. No, we got to read this. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 4, when you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Peter says here, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, railing, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess rioting, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Look what it says. Verse 2, that you no longer should live the rest, live life the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We want to live our lives according to the will of God, not according to the flesh. For in past times of our life might suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. At one point we obeyed our flesh. I'm going to paraphrase. down to verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of rioting. At some point, the people that you used to hang with and all the things that you all did to obey the flesh together, he says they're going to find it strange that you no longer have a draw to them same things. You see that? You see that in verse, they're going to find it, verse 4. It says, they're going to find it strange. How come he doesn't have to fornicate no more? How come he doesn't have to drink no more? How come he doesn't have to do this? Because you've been freed by walking according to the Spirit. This is part of that evidence that should be shown in you. And it should be seen in you, in your walk, in living according to Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is my closing verse right here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is going to close everything out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42-58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, you got to say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is, you got it? Chapter 15, verse 42. This is Paul speaking. He says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is risen a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they which are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corrupt inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of death is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord give a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
The last verse just simply lets us know that we got to take this sinful flesh off one day. And we're going to put on immortality. We're going to take off this sinful body. And those who have walked according to the Spirit are going to receive a prize. And those who have not, the Bible says, they shall die. It walks according to the flesh. Amen?
Amen?
Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word, Father. We pray that we walk out of here with a renewed strength to be able to battle against our flesh bodies, Lord, to be able to walk according to the Spirit and to gain victory over some of the things that the flesh has held us in captive to, Lord. We ask that your word stay deep in our hearts, Lord, and that we take each and every one of these scriptures and apply them to our lives, Father, so that we may be growing your word and be usable for you, for the kingdom, Lord. We thank you for it all right now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.